I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We got all kinds of stuff this hour. We're going to talk a little bit about the World Health Organization attacking our food. I'll get to that in a little while. Questions on everything from the South after the Civil War to where do we move if we have to leave the country to many other things. But let's begin actually here. Dear historical oracle, why did the American South have so much trouble with Reconstruction after the Civil War? Was this the failure of our politicians post-Civil War or just the inevitable consequences of losing a war? His name is Michael. Okay, so a lot of people, the schools don't focus a lot on Reconstruction. Do keep something in mind that schools and the history they teach in schools, even when it's not communist gobbledygook, very often teachers don't have time to give you the depth of knowledge on any one historical subject. They're going to give you a couple high points. If you're interested, look more into it yourself. So I understand the reasons. And look, America has this really weird thing about the Civil War to this day. It's just kind of a programmed response in people. All they know about the Civil War is North good, South bad. That's all they know, which is ridiculous. It's insane. It's a crazy complicated affair with angels and demons on both sides. It was an awful thing, but a fascinating period of time. But nobody teaches about Reconstruction. I shouldn't say nobody. Very, very few schools will dig into Reconstruction. I'm not going to dig into a bunch here, but I will just say that the South, remember this, the South had virtually no chance to win the Civil War. That's why they didn't declare war. Remember, the South did not invade the North. The North invaded the South. The South did not declare war because they didn't have the logistical ability to even win a war. I think it was New York, if I believe it's New York alone, had five times the economy of the entire South. That's New York alone. The North was where all the industry was. It's where the major ports were. It's where everything came. The South was farmland. That's what the South was. The South had farmland. There were farms all over the place. And yes, obviously slaves all over the place. Now, part of the reason the South took so long to patch things up after the Civil War is that the war was fought in the South. And I understand about Lee's invasion of Pennsylvania and Gettysburg, and I get all that. I'm not saying there weren't any battles up north, but the vast majority of the Civil War was not fought in the North. It was fought in the South. And wars gobble up and destroy everything. You destroy all the infrastructure, all the logistics. You kill how many men? This is one of the things. I'm sure there have probably been books written about it, or if not, a nice long paper would probably be interesting. You kids may be looking for an interesting topic in school. Here's a general topic that would be interesting. How does a war, any war, how does losing an entire generation of young men, how does it negatively affect a country going forward? And how long does it take a country to put itself back together again after that? There are people out there today, good point, Chris, in France who say France has still not recovered from World War I. World War I, 100 years ago. And they say France, you lose that high of a percentage of your young men when you expand that out to what it means for families and children's and the children and the economy. And that, how does that hurt a nation? How does what happened in the South and the North, how does it hurt a nation? Well, it's brutal. And remember, nobody in the United States of America was flush with cash after the Civil War because wars are expensive. The North was not flush with cash either. And this is back when the United States of America had a non-suicidal fiscal policy. So you don't go to Congress. We have to understand how insane how we do things today is. You don't go to Congress back then and just propose blowing some trillion-dollar bill. That does not happen. It could not happen. You couldn't print money. You couldn't just go print money that wasn't unbacked. We had sound money in a system in place that required sound money. Yeah, Chris, that's a good point about the fire. Chris brought up the story I brought up before. I won't go into all the details of it, but you want to know how crazy things are? Think about the federal budget and all the money and everywhere it goes now. Goes everywhere. They're constantly passing bills. You're funding turtle farts in Mississippi and, of course, a bunch of gay stuff in California. You're funding things in Niger. You're funding things in China. Taxpayer money here, taxpayer money there. Just money, 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 money everywhere. Well, in this country, there was once a terrible, terrible fire. I believe it was in Georgetown. And at the mere suggestion that the federal government contribute to putting out the fire, there was almost anarchy in the streets. That's not your money. You can't just take our money and put out some. What? That's our money. Who do you think you are? It shows you where we are now, right? So it's not as if there were gobs of money. Think about it if you're in the South after the Civil War. You are a farm-based society. One of the main drivers of that farming was the slaves you used to have. Well, now you have them still because so many of the slaves stayed on their plantation, but now you have to pay them. So now your costs have gone up. The logistics have gone crazy. Your entire way of life has been ripped up and rebuilt. There's not just a finger snapping way to put all that back together again. I probably picked this question because I find the subject so fascinating. I find the concept of rebuilding at all after wars to be fascinating. When I watch World War II stuff, and I know this is really nerdy. I know I'm an old nerd. I realize that. But when I watch like World War II, World War I stuff, and you're looking at video footage, and you see something like Dresden in Germany, where we firebombed and we had that huge firestorm. But pick your city. It could be anywhere. Pick your city. And you're looking at Stalingrad, and it's just all bombed out buildings and rubble, and there's nothing left. I always think, every time I think, how long did it take to clean all that up? Who cleaned it up? How long did it take to put it all back together? You know, we like to somehow imagine in our head that there's just this magical 10 million man army full of construction crews to come in and clean up all that brick and mortar and we'll have you a new building up in a month, Bob. But that's not true. Everyone's broke. So many of the men are dead. Reconstructing anything after a war is a nightmare. And the South was in a bad situation. And it's why so many people today, when people try to relitigate all this Civil War stuff, tear down that Robert E. Lee statue, which is really, really pathetic. They miss all the efforts that took place after the Civil War. After the Civil War, there was tons of hard feelings. There were so many people on the northern side who wanted so many people in the South to be strung up. Gallows, treason. You rebelled, treason, that kind of thing. And what the country eventually settled on was, hey, this was terrible. We can try to get our pound of flesh after the fact, or we can come together, agree that that whole thing was bad, We're going to give you a hand out and you a hand out, and let's extend a hand to each other. And hey, let's agree that Ulysses S. Grant was a war hero and Robert E. Lee was a war hero. And we're all just going to kind of move on. These weren't things that were done just willy-nilly. These things were done because how do you put Humpty Dumpty back together again when you're all shooting each other in the face en masse? That is a very, very difficult thing to do. That's what the country did. And so, look, the South went through a lot of it after the Civil War. And you can argue, you certainly can argue, that they still haven't recovered. Look, you go drive through parts of the South. I remember last time I was in the Florida Panhandle. I was driving through the Panhandle. And it was crazy. I was driving down this road. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was me and wife. We were going somewhere. I forget where we were going. We're driving just this two-lane road down the Florida Panhandle. And we would come across on our right or on our left this stunning plantation right off the road. Gorgeous, beautiful fence, beautiful gate. I don't even know how many thousands of acres. Just barns, house. It was gorgeous. And then the second you got off the plantation thing, boom, it was a poor black neighborhood. Rundown homes, homes without windows, mobile homes, black people laying around in the yard. It was very clearly, it was very, very rough. And then right when you left that little black neighborhood, same road, boom, plantation. Gorgeous plantation. Leave that, poor black neighborhood. Boom, plantation. They still haven't put everything back together again. Takes time. All right. Let's talk about leaving America. This Trump thing in New York and many, many other things. Let's talk about your dog, though. You see, your dog needs nutrition the same way you need nutrition. The same way I need nutrition. Not to brag. I just want to point out that you know how I had to get my physical? Blood work came back today. It's sparkling. The wife is furious about it because of how healthy she eats versus me. But I do take my vitamins. Vitamins, minerals, probiotics. I need those things. Your dog does too. Your dog is a living, breathing thing, and he doesn't get nutrition from dog food, so pour Rough Greens on your dog's food. Go get a free Jumpstart trial bag. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, admitting to you that I don't have any idea what they're saying in that song. Till you get enough. I'm pretty sure I have that last part down, but the rest of it, no idea what they're saying whatsoever. But I kind of mouth the words along and I act like I do, pretty much exactly like you're doing now. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, remember what I said on Wednesday? Hey, Chris, go ahead and write this one down. Joe Biden's going to be on the ballot in Ohio. All right. Look, death, taxes, and the GOP grabbing their ankles every time they have a chance at a win. Those are the only three guarantees in life. Joe Biden's going to be on the ballot in Ohio. After all, that's not who we are. Don't you love that line? That's not who we are. And Ohio Governor Mike DeWine from yesterday.
The Senate has passed several bills that would remedy this situation. However, the House of Representatives has failed to do this. The legislature had session yesterday and again failed to take any action. This is simply unacceptable. Ohio is running out of time to get Joe Biden, the sitting president of the United States, on the ballot this fall. Failing to do so is simply not acceptable.
Only the GOP. Democrats launch effort after effort to get Trump removed off the ballot. Joe Biden screws up totally on his own, misses the deadline to be on the Ohio ballot, and the Ohio Republican governor calls an emergency session to bail him out. Man, that's just the most GOP thing ever. Jesse, I've been firmly convinced that we are looking at an OJ jury in the Trump New York case. Do you think the Trump rally there will influence the jury to acquit, even though they know they were chosen to convict him? I do. You cannot be cynical enough in the world today, said you can. I can use his name. His name is Fred. Honestly, I've never really cared about the New York trial, and this is why. I always assumed he was going to be convicted. There's always a chance you get one good juror on there and they blow this whole case out of the water, which they should. It's garbage. I always assumed he would be convicted, and I never cared because the New York trial, and I'm not dismissing it. It does matter that they're using the law against Trump. The New York trial was never the one that was going to send him to prison. The Georgia case was the one that was going to send him to prison. And the D.C. case was the one that was definitely going to send him to prison. The D.C. case has now been delayed until after the election. So if Trump wins the election, he's going to blow that whole case up and they won't have to worry about that. Go back to only having to worry about the Georgia case, which may not happen because Fannie Willis had an affair and blew a bunch of taxpayer money. So look, he caught some serious breaks and it's wonderful. I wouldn't stress the look, there's enough to worry about going on right now, even in the campaign season in the country. Don't sit and stress this Trump New York trial. He's not going to go to prison. What they've done to him is evil. What they've done to him financially, criminally is evil. It's very, very evil. But don't let that weigh you down. Dear Dr. Steel Sombrero, if you had plenty of money and needed to leave America forever with your family, where would you go? My choice is Romania. Why? I don't know. But like you, I make spontaneous decisions without much thought and stick with them. It's not very nice. Where would I go? Well, I haven't been that very many nice to that many nice places in the world. I just haven't. I've been to Mexico, Canada. Can't go to Canada anymore. Mexico. The thought of Mexico is appealing to me. I love Mexico, and I realize all the problems they have down there. But I love Mexican people. I've always had a lot of Mexican friends. I love Mexican music. I love Mexican food. I love Mexican beer, Mexican beaches. I've never been, but I heard the Mexican mountains are gorgeous. Supposed to be some wonderful fishing down there. Maybe Mexico. Maybe that's kind of a cop-out answer. I will tell you, I was a little blown away at how beautiful Germany was. Now, you can't go to Germany because it's going full commie faster than we're going full commie. Chris, you might want to stay away from Germany, pal. What? I'm just saying, you never know. Either way, when we went there, it's the only time we've ever been. We went there at Christmas time. I'm from Montana. I'm used to beauty. You know, I grew up in Montana, Utah, Colorado, Denver, Salt Lake City. I grew up in the Rocky Mountains, beautiful mountains. And so I know beauty, at least nature-wise. I know beauty after all. I know me. What, Chris? Anyway, no, I know what beautiful terrain looks like. Georgia. Germany was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Not Russia, Chris. Gosh, why Russia? I don't want to live in that dump. I'm not living in a dictatorship. Screw Russia. And I'm somebody who actually, I'm fascinated by Russian history. And I'm fascinated by Russian people. I know a few Russians, crazy people. They're all crazy. And I love them for that. I'm just not living under a system, under a dictator. I'm not going to do that. What, Chris? What? 4,000 miles away from Moscow. Buddy, they're Russians. That's nothing for them, okay? That's an afternoon. They do that on the weekend, pal. These people are crazy. Hey, Jesse, I recently discovered your show. I watch it religiously. It's a ray of sunshine in a very dark world. You talk about getting involved in elections to kick out do-nothing Republicans. I couldn't agree more. My question is, since U.S. elections have been totally compromised and corrupted, as evidenced in 2020, what makes you think they would be legitimate going forward? His name is John. Let's talk about that. Elections are stolen, so why do we get involved? Let's talk about that. You ever think like that? Before we do that, let's talk about your safety, your personal safety. This is not something we can outsource. Look, you never could outsource this. Outsource it. We always should have had personal ownership of our safety. But now you just can't. You simply cannot. There are too many violent people in this country, and we're bringing more in by the thousand every single day. They're everywhere. Get a Byrna pistol launcher, and more importantly than that, get one for the person you love. The person who maybe jogs alone, walks alone, lives alone, sleeps alone. Where's your daughter? Where's your dad? Where's your mom? You know there are bad people everywhere. Oh, but they don't like guns. This is a non-lethal gun. It's a pistol launcher. It's legal in all 50 states. You don't even need a permit or a background check. It shoots pepper balls or tear gas balls. These things are elite BYRNA, by the way. You will even have a blast practicing with it. Go get a Byrna pistol launcher for yourself and someone you love. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't worry, you can email the show jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, so let's talk about this concept. Guy emailed in and he said, hey, I talk about getting involved in elections and so on and so forth, but they stole the 2020 election. Elections are compromised. Okay, so let's clear up a couple things here. One, America is not Washington, D.C. America is not Washington, D.C. And the future of our success or failure will not be determined by whether or not we control the White House. Yes, I want us to control the White House. I do. It helps. I want them out. Saving the country or losing the country is not something that will be decided in November, because saving the country is a process, not an event. There will be a million battles to fight. We will lose a bunch. We will win a bunch. In the end, let's hope we're victorious. All right, so because America is not DC, we have to separate elections. Every election is not a presidential election. If you believe that they cheated in any way in the 2020 election, I agree with you. I agree with you all the way. In fact, I could point to about a million different ways. We talk about it all the time on the show. Even if you don't believe in you know, things that I don't necessarily buy into, hacked voting machines and stuff like that. What the FBI did with Facebook alone, burying the Hunter Biden laptop story, that's cheating in an election. That's malfeasance. That's election interference. That's cheating. That's wrong. They used the federal government to campaign for Joe Biden. You can't do that. That's cheating in an election. They did cheat. But remember, presidential elections are not gubernatorial elections. They're not mayoral elections. They're not school board elections. And so let me say something that a lot of people are going to find wildly offensive on the right, and I don't give a crap. Every election's stolen, so I'm not getting involved, is a lie and a cop-out, and it's an excuse for you to be a lazy bum. That's what it is. You can believe presidential elections are stolen and can be stolen. Frankly, I agree with you 100%. Every election isn't stolen. You're just too lazy to get off your butt and go get involved. We just had city council elections here in my town. In fact, here in Texas, we've got school board elections coming up this year. We will win or lose those elections based on the work we put in right now. Are we running for office? Are we helping the people running for office? Are we donating money? Are we knocking on doors? Are we turning people out? No one's going to hack the voting machines. We're not going to blame China or the Democrat Party or George Soros or anything like that. Those elections will be determined by who gets up off their butt and digs in versus who sits on their butt. As of right now, we get outworked in every single election cycle. And that's why we lose critical ones. That's why abortion is enshrined in the Constitution now in the red state of Ohio. It's why we lose school board races in blood red areas. It's not because they cheat. It's because they work and we don't. And the right has had a laziness, apathy problem forever. And this every election stolen crap has only made that problem 10 times worse. And this is from someone who believes elections are stolen. And I'm telling you right now, the idea that every election is stolen, I swear at this point in time, I am convinced it was created by the communists and exported to the right just to create voter apathy on the right. You understand? Do you get that we had two Republican senators from the state of Georgia just like 5 minutes ago? Both of the senators from the state of Georgia were Republican. We controlled the Senate, because we had two Republican senators from the state of Georgia. Then the 2020 election happened, and we told everyone, I wouldn't even bother voting. Elections are stolen. And the right stayed home because of that idea. And now we have two Democrats from the state of Georgia representing it. And a Republican governor, by the way. So they managed to steal the Senate seats, but they forgot about the governor's mansion? I think not. Yes, Democrats cheat in elections. They always have. They always will. It's not even arguable. That's why the Democrat Party platform is that you shouldn't have to show ID. There's only one reason you wouldn't want people to show ID. It's because you want to cheat. There's only one reason you would want more mail-in balloting. It's because you want to cheat. I admit, I acknowledge, Democrats cheat, Democrats cheat, Democrats cheat. But your local GOP rep is still in office, not because he cheated in the election. Your local Rhino rep, it's because you and me have not put in enough work to bounce him out in a primary. That's why he's there. Your local school board's full of commies, and it's not because they hacked the voting machine. It's because we didn't care enough to get up off the couch and get involved in the daggone election. You can believe they cheat in presidential elections, and I'll follow this up with this one. They might cheat in the next presidential election and the one we have coming. In fact, they probably will. Maybe they will. They're not going to cheat in every election. And if you believe they did cheat in overt ways in the last one, as in you think they waited until they saw Trump was leading and then they went and found enough ballots. That's why all the Biden ballots came in at 2 a.m. and it put him over the top. And actually, that is what I believe. If you believe that, as I do, okay, fine. But they're not doing that in your area. It is a cop-out, and it's an excuse to give up and be lazy. That's what it is. The right has not cared enough. We have lost this country not because of election cheating, but because the people who want to destroy it have wanted to destroy it more than we wanted to save it and fix it. That's the truth. Get involved in your election, all right? Dear Menu Whisperer, what is your opinion on taco trucks? Personally, I love them, but I have a process on picking them. I try not to go to the fancy-looking ones. I try to find the average-looking one and judge by the line of people. I have never had bad tacos in this process. Does this make me a bad taco whisperer? His name is Cade. Listen, Cade, you don't have to dance around things. If you're at a taco truck, you look for Mexicans, okay? If there are Mexicans at the taco truck, you're about to eat well. Here in Texas, we know this well. There are two places to get elite Mexican food in Texas outside of restaurants. Gas stations and taco trucks. If you're not in Texas, you'll laugh at the gas station part. The best Mexican food you can find is oftentimes in some rundown gas station. What they'll do is they'll lease out a little kitchen portion of it, hire a couple Mexican women in there, and they're just churning out tacos and tortillas and what, Chris? And carne asada and chiles and things like that all day long. Best thing in the world. The breakfast taco place I go to all the time has three Mexican women working there. They not only know my name, by now they know my phone number. When I call, they say, ah, Señor Kelly, we'll get them ready. And they have dos tacos waiting for me when I show up. And I love those women. And your taco truck, the best taco truck in my area, it's right by the gas station where you can, and I kid you not, you walk in this gas station, which I did one time, they have a display up at the front where you can buy switchblades, do-rags, and plain white t-shirts. I'm not making this up. The most ghettoed out trash in the world. And you look out at the taco truck, which is a walking food safety violation. And the taco truck has about 10 Mexicans standing in line. You go stand in that line, gringo, because you're about to eat good. Are you going to have some lower intestinal problems afterwards? Probably, but you're about to eat really, really good. Don't forget about that. Look, if you want to eat good Mexican food, you're going to have to take some chances, all right? Good Mexican food comes with risk. Everything great. You want to climb Mount Everest? You're going to get cold. You want to eat good Mexican food? You might get food poisoning. It comes with the territory. Buck up. Take your chalk. You'll feel better. You know what I start my mornings off with? Whether I've got a Mexican food tummy or my tummy's feeling good? You know what chalk lit powder is, right? I know you're going to be shocked by this, but it's a play on words. It's chocolate flavored, but it's not spelled whatever. Anyway, it's packed full of vitamins and minerals. Wake up first thing in the morning. Do this. Wake up first thing in the morning. Go get a glass of water or a glass of milk. Dump a scoop and then in there, stir it up and chug it. Just first thing. That's what I do. First thing, I walk right to the kitchen, chocolate powder every single morning. Man, it changes your day. It's like your body, you can feel your body celebrating as it just takes in all these natural herbal supplements right off the bat. Get some. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. Start your day off with some chocolate powder and get a subscription so you save money. All right, I promised you a World Economic Forum bit of audio. I'm going to do that when we get back before I finish the emails. All right, hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. I need to remind you again that we will be here on Monday. I'm off the rest of the week. Next week, I'm taking vacation, but we will be here on Monday doing a Memorial Day show. It will be radically different than every other show. There will be no politics, zero, zip, zilch. The entire thing is dedicated to honoring the fallen. We'll be telling their stories. We'll be reading their names. If you've emailed names of fallen, whether it's in training or combat or whatnot, we will try to get to as many names as humanly possible. I used to be able to guarantee that I would read every name. I am sorry that the show ended up getting a lot bigger than we ever thought it would get. And I may not get to every name. You don't want to sit here and listen to me read names for 3 hours. I'm going to get to as many names and as many stories and as much as possible, but it's going to be honoring the fallen on Monday. If you have a name or something, feel free to email it. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll go over everything we can. And we've always felt obligated to do a show that day to honor the fallen. So that will be a different show. And then when I get back following week, back to our regularly scheduled programming. Now, this Tedros dork, this Chinese puppet that runs the World Health Organization, he's out there talking about our food systems. And I'm not going to spend long on this because I want to get to the emails I didn't get to, but I just want to remind you that climate change communism is communism's final form. It's its most evil form. It's the most evil, genocidal ideology in the history of mankind. Because once you decide that human beings themselves and their activities, their food, their everything, once you decide humans are poison, then the inevitable conclusion is you need to kill a bunch of human beings. That's the basics. That's the essence of climate change communism. Remember that when they talk about your food systems like this.
Our food systems are harming the health of people and planet. Food systems contribute to over 30% of greenhouse gas emissions and account for almost one-third.
I need to clarify. Producer Michael just asked why I called him Chinese. I should have clarified, it's not because he's Chinese. He's the head of the World Health Organization because the dirty Chinese commies wanted him as head of the World Health Organization. That's what I meant. When I said Chinese puppet, I didn't mean he was Chinese, Michael. I know nationalities. I'm pretty learned after all.
Buenas tardes.
Anyway, back to this guy.
Our food systems are harming the health of people and planet. Food systems contribute to over 30% of greenhouse gas emissions and account for almost one-third of the global burden of disease. Transforming food systems is therefore essential.
But this guy's English sucks. I can't even understand half of what he's saying.
By shifting towards healthier, diversified, and more plant-based diets. If food systems delivered healthy diets for all, we could save 8 million lives per year. WHO is committed to supporting countries to develop and implement policies to improve diets and fight climate change.
I can't take that anymore. I feel like I'm on the phone with customer service. Just know he's trying to eliminate meat. They are attacking our food systems. They've been attacking our food systems, and they've been more successful than you or I realize. Don't believe me? Talk to a cattle farmer. Talk to a guy who runs beef. You'll believe me after you do that.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
The subject of this one is stealing your material, Shogun. Well, I'm in a private chat for politics with communists and right-wingers like us. I'm taking your advice because I steal your material to drive the commies in the group crazy. They go insane when I use your material against them. I take all your arguments and wisdom and take full credit for it. Keep up the fantastic work. You make my day every day. I love the show. Your loyal fan, Janet. You always steal whatever you want of mine. There's no limit to what you can accomplish in life if you're willing to take credit for other people's work. Dear Dick Cheney of Paintball, I've been wanting to get back into more history books instead of only fantasy football articles. Gosh, I miss fantasy football. Can you name 5 U.S. history books every man should read in his lifetime? I'm currently working through Bloodlands from your recommendation. It's brutal, but very eye-opening. Thanks for the suggestion. His name is Bradley. I don't tell people a definitive list of history books, and here's why. I tell you what I'm reading. I tell you whether I love it or not. But I don't know what history you like. Everyone loves history. It's just a matter of whether or not you've discovered the kind of history you like or not yet. You might like art history. You might be a medieval history guy, an ancient times history guy. Maybe you're fascinated with Persia or Rome, or maybe you're World War II, or maybe everyone likes something different. Everyone likes something different, and that's fine. You have to find the kind of history that works for you, and then you dig in there. The one guidance I will give is this. It's not that there aren't any new history books that are written that are good. Guys like Hampton Sides, whatever he writes is awesome. And he's very much alive and still writing it. You read anything, if Hampton Sides writes it, buy it. I do. And I don't know him. It's not like he's a friend. He just writes great books. But if you stick with older stuff, you'll get better stuff. And I don't mean you have to read something from the 1800s. He doth protest too much. I'm not talking about that. Just maybe the 1970s, 80s, 50s, somewhere back there. If you start dabbling in, quote, history books that are written in the 2000s, it might be okay. I'm not saying there aren't good ones. It might be pretty rough. I have heard that the Anti-Communist Manifesto is particularly wonderful. What, Chris? And I've heard that you can still purchase it at jessekellybook.com. Jesse, you always say defund communist agencies, but last week you kept saying end Social Security is now priority number one on the debt. Sometimes I wonder, actually, I don't wonder. The truth is that people hear what they want to hear. I never said ending Social Security was number one on the debt list. I said everything must go. Everything in order to save the United States of America. We are going to have to figure out how to cut back on all of this stuff. All right? Now, put a smile on your face. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Take a moment on Monday. Remember the fallen. Remember it's not Veterans Day. And I'll see you then. That's all.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.